Welcome to the show, boys and girls. Good morning. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm the host of the show. It's Your Money, the financial talk show, which is, well, I would say radio show, but now it's the financial podcast that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. We believe you don't need to know everything if you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things. If you caught that, I said podcast rather than radio cast because this is actually my first podcast. We have actually, I don't know how you would, what the term would be. We had relinquished or had given up our show, our very popular syndicated radio show, a few weeks back, just due to my current schedule and the needs of my family and my current clients. And we felt like after 3 years of doing that show that I had done my part as it relates to community service and involvement. We spent a tremendous amount of time and effort creating a lot of material for people that want to study and learn about this whole area of the market and finances and estate planning and insurance and Roth conversions and income for life models and long-term care and taxes. And if I didn't mention it, tax planning again. So as a result, every so often, we're just going to fire off a quick podcast. I'm not going to keep track of time, which is a beautiful thing, because before the time constraints of the radio really created issues for me, whether it be in not, you know, squeezing it in a certain period or whatever the case may be. So anyway, for those of you that are regular listeners of Financial Abundance, It's Your Money radio show, I think you're going to enjoy the podcast moving forward because we are going to continue in the same vein. The only difference is they're probably going to be shorter, quicker to listen to, and we're going to try to keep more focused on subject-centric rather than needing to put in any filler to fill out the airwaves and the time that we had when we would do our show. So thank you for your support, by the way, for all of you and the kind notes and letters that we get as it relates to the information that you do get on our podcast or show. And this is just the beginning. We're going to continue to provide that information for you. Yes, I said we're going to continue to provide it. We are going to be a source that is grounded. I've been referred to as a captain of common sense, the doctor of discernment. We are going to do everything we can to bring some clarity to a very confusing industry. In fact, I don't think we have a lack of information in this country. We have a blatant lack of clarity and leadership, and I don't mean political leadership. I mean leadership at all levels in our communities and so on. And I think that information, knowledge is power. So we're going to continue to share that with you. So anyway, let's get into today's main point of conversation, and that is the market update. Now, this is August. Today is actually August 5th. Thursday afternoon, August 5th, and this market update is as of August 4th. Now, this is 2010, August 4th, 2010, close of business. Now, some of you that may be new listeners are wondering, why is it that this guy does a market update every so often? I try to do it a couple few times a month at least, and that is very simply because of this, ladies and gentlemen. I believe in an academic approach to investing. I believe that there's science out there. There's many different academic and scientific studies from very credible sources and institutions around the world that, in my opinion, have laid out a very clear and concise method for investing. And it really is avoiding some of the things that most people would incorporate. I'll give you an example of that. It is not uncommon, ladies and gentlemen, most people do not understand the financial planning process or this industry as a whole. And it is not uncommon for someone to walk in my office and say, "Hey, Paul, what's the hot stock today?" Or, "Hey, Paul, should we put more money in the market or take our money out?" Well, ladies and gentlemen, if I knew that, I wouldn't be here right now. I would be in Virgin Gorda on an island with a laptop and wireless connection hooked up, because that means I would have some insight that the rest of the folks out there don't have, and I would be able to take advantage of that. Well, no one does, ladies and gentlemen. No one knows what's going to happen moving forward in the market. We know scientifically how to diversify and put together portfolios based on the science of modern portfolio theory and the concept of dissimilar price movement and the efficient market hypothesis. And many of the studies that we've seen from professors at the University of Chicago and Harvard and Stanford and Princeton and Yale and on and on and on. But what most people think financial planning is studying and finding inefficiencies in the market or value in the market. That's the, can I say lie? That might be too strong. That is the idea that's propagated that some people, a small group of people, have some insight the rest of us don't have, and they don't, ladies and gentlemen. What we do know for a fact is that the market has a two-thirds bias. One-third of the years it's down. Two-thirds of the years it's up. We never know which year is going to be up, which year is going to be down. We never know in that year that's up or down what's going to be the hottest asset class. Now, what's an asset class? Well, it's the same type of companies. So if you had large U.S. asset class, that would be large U.S. growth companies. Or small growth companies, U.S., would be another asset class. Or cash. Or bonds, or T-bills. You get the idea. So we never know what is going to be the hot asset class. For example, last year, it was international. The year before that, it was intermediate bonds. The year before that, it was small U.S. companies. This year, so far, looking at the market update right now, it looks like small companies are winning again. So the reason we do the update is we want to give you a well-rounded view of what the market is doing as a whole. Because if you adopt any type of scientific approach to investing and not an active management and chasing what's up, okay, an example of that would be, hey, I don't think BP is going to do well moving forward. Let's sell BP and buy Exxon to replace it. Well, there's costs involved in that, and we don't believe that it works. You're always selling low and buying high when you're chasing the market. So the reason we do the market update is to offer some clarity in the area of how's the market doing as a whole, how is each index doing, because if you believe in an academic approach to investing, you believe the market is efficient, and whereby, if we believe the market's efficient, we want to own the entire marketplace. We're not trying to beat the market. We just want to get what the market will bear, and sometimes it's a bear market, like 08, for example. 09 was a wonderful year, and 10 started out wonderfully, and then May and June were rough on us, and we seem to have made a turn. I'm seeing a lot more positive numbers than I did the last market update that I did. So let's go ahead and get into the market update as of August 4th, 2010. This would be closing business Thursday, August 4th. First of all, the Russell 2500 Index, which measures the performance of small to mid-cap segment of the U.S. equity universe, commonly referred to as SMID-cap, year-to-date, ladies and gentlemen, we're about 7.3%. So yay, team, rock on with the small companies. 7.36, we're doing great there. The Russell 2500 Index measures the performance of small cap or micro segment of the U.S. equity universe. So these would be small to very small growth U.S. companies. And year to date, we're about 6.75% there. So right around 7% for the small growth and micro, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I would bet most of you don't even own any small investments in your portfolios. The only time you would own them is if they start to be hot like they are now and the managers start chasing small. Unfortunately, you're buying in high rather than owning it all along. Let's go to the Russell 2000 value, which measures the performance of small cap value segment of the U.S. equity universe. So value companies, you have growth companies, you have value companies. What's the difference? Well, growth company would be a company who's doing very well, their earnings are good, they get the best deal when they go to borrow and for credit and what have you. Their share price might be at a little bit more of a premium, okay? Well, you have what we call value companies. Value companies are what we consider to be good companies, but they're distressed right now. Or can I say unexcellent companies? Value companies right now, small value for the year is up 7.4%. So we want to own value companies and growth companies, both small and very small in the U.S. equity universe. So right now, that is the hottest area, ladies and gentlemen, the small arena U.S. That brings us to another value, but this would be large value. The Russell 1000 Value Index measures the performance of large value segment of the U.S. equity universe. And year to date, 2010, it's about 3.5%. So there we go. Value and small seem to be, large value and small across the board are the hot areas right now. This brings us to the one most of us are familiar with, which is the S&P 500. It is widely regarded as the best single gauge of the U.S. equities market. And this index is about 500 leading U.S. companies, predominantly large. And we would find large growth in year to date. We're at about 2.25%. Now, let me coach up on a side note here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're seeing the news report at night and it shows you the Dow number and it shows you maybe the NASDAQ and the S&P, and you find that your portfolio's growth or losses up and down is running fairly lockstep with those indexes or indice, that should tell you something. What should it tell you? Well, it should tell you that you got way too much large companies in your portfolio, U.S. large, because in a well-diversified portfolio, you're going to have asset classes or areas that have a relatively mundane growth from time to time. Again, we're not trying to beat the market. You want to own the entire market. That's why I'm talking about all these different indice. Let's take it into the international arena. Morgan Stanley World Index, the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index. This would be designed to measure the equity performance of developed markets like Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Finland, Greece, etc. And to date, we're not doing so well. Doggone it, we're not doing so well in developed markets. Unlike last year, negative, a little over 1% year to date. Doggone it, that's a shame. That takes us to the Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging, not developed, but Emerging Markets Index. These would be countries like Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, Morocco, Philippines, Poland, South Africa, Taiwan, etc. And emerging markets was the hot. It was the winner last year, smoking last year, like 90%. Of course, it meant nothing to you unless you rebalanced quarterly and locked in those gains. But 2.2%, so it's in the positive. If I recall from the last market update, I believe it was 6 or 7 in the negative. So we've made quite a turnaround in the international arena. And then we have our big loser for this market update, and that would happen to be the Morgan Stanley Capital International Europe, Australia, and the Far East Index. And this is a free-floating adjusted market capitalized index that's designed to measure equity performance of developed markets, excluding the U.S. and Canada. And we're at about negative 4.25%. So, as it relates to the market update for the first week of August in 2010, we're seeing small companies doing very well. We're happy to see that. Value companies that are eking along very well. S&Ps, it's in the positive, which is a good thing. But internationally as a whole, about the only winner right now is emerging markets. My hope for you, ladies and gentlemen, is that you have a well-diversified portfolio. And I don't mean just by name. I mean one that you've actually had someone analyze so you know very specifically what your standard deviation is, the measurement of risk, what your diversification and correlation is in that portfolio. Remember this if you don't remember anything else from this podcast. It's not what stock you buy or when you buy it that really has an impact in your portfolio. It's how does that stock relate to all the other stocks in your portfolio. Kind of like the umbrella and the sunscreen analogy. You know, Markowitz, Harry Markowitz, the father of modern portfolio theory, won the Nobel Prize in 1990 for modern portfolio theory, and something he had actually written and published back in the early 50s, and he's really the godfather of modern portfolio theory, and he came up with this formula and this whole concept of dissimilar price movement. See, you want to own suntan lotion and umbrellas because you never know what asset class is going to be up. You don't just want to chase the one that's hot. And that leads me to my closing statement or closing remarks for today and this podcast. Again, moving forward, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have shorter, more subject-centric and concise podcasts because now we are not broadcasting for the radio. We are just creating content for our podcast listeners. I want to share something with you in closing. I pulled this out of the Wall Street Journal last week, and it's an advertisement. I'm not going to talk about who the advertisement's for. I don't want to create any waves here, but I want to make a point. This is a very reputable firm, outfit, organization, institution, if you will, that is offering a successful investing conference. And they're going on to talk about, meet some of the world's most informed and most influential financial people. These investing legends will give you their take on the market and talk about their favorite stock pick and et cetera, et cetera. And this is the challenge I have, ladies and gentlemen, with the industry. It's this implication, this inference, this illusion that some people have insight that the rest of us don't have. Now, it's not to say that these people are not savvy people in, as it relates to business and are in a financial industry and understand what we're doing. But to imply that they have some insight that someone else does not have and that they can tell you what stocks are hot or what they are like is nothing more than their opinion. Now, we don't know until the hindsight 2020 whether their opinion is valid or not. We do know, scientifically speaking, according to Morningstar data, that when you analyze money managers' performance, that we only see about 15 to 20% of the managers beating the market half the time. That means about 80% of them are not. Now, you might say, well, Paul, that's okay as long as I find the next Peter Lynch or the next Warren Buffett. Well, Warren Buffett is wrong 40% of the time. Warren Buffett believes in more of an academic approach, a buy and hold, an efficient market approach. So to imply that somebody has some insight that the rest of us do not have, is, I believe, intellectually dishonest at its very core. Not pointing fingers, because every time I point a finger, I got three pointed back at me. But this is the kind of thing that confuses people about the industry, an industry I love and a great wealth-producing entity we call the stock market, the greatest wealth producer known to man. Unfortunately, a lot of the information is skewed to the advantage of the institutions and the fees that they collect. And some of the new financial reform is going to address some of that, but unfortunately, very, very little of the transparency and the fiduciary requirements that all advisors should be held to. But perhaps that's a show for another time. You've been listening to Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I am the president of Financial Abundance. Financial Abundance is a registered investment advisory firm in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We have offices in State College, the center of PA, where Penn State University is, and we also have offices in Lewisburg, where Bucknell is, just happens to be by different universities. We have a plethora of information. Obviously, you found our podcast and know that there's information here, but there is also information on the WJAC TV. If you go to the news tab, under there's It's Your Money, and there's a page on there dedicated to our teaching, It's Your Money, and there's a bunch of bonus videos you can check out on there. You can find the same videos and these same podcasts on Financial Abundance website. All you got to do is go to Google and type in Financial Abundance. It should pop right up. And in that section, there's an Ask the Coach a Question. And if you want to go ahead and ask a question, it goes directly to me. Just give me a couple days, especially if it's a weekend, to get back to you, and I'll do my best to respond. Now, sometimes some of the questions are specific, and I can't give specific answers because they're not giving me the information I need for that. So I try to answer as best I can, and if they're more of a specific nature, I need more information, well, I'll email you and encourage you to give us a call so that we can talk on the phone for a few minutes and find out those particulars, and then maybe we can get you coached up. And we do that as a public service. Sometimes that leads to opportunities for us to help people with some of our planning. But most of the time, it's more of just Paul taking some time out of my week to pro bono and help the investing public, which is my passion. As many of you know, I'm part of a growing group of professionals that are deeply concerned about the direction of this country, and I believe that education is the cure. In fact, our motto is education leads to clarity, clarity leads to confidence, and confidence may, in fact, lead to peace of mind. I hope this information has helped you today. Here we go in on about 20 minutes. That's not too bad for a podcast. Again, Financial Abundance, Inc., Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. Stay tuned and check us out every week or so. We'll throw some more information on here. Appreciate all the feedback that you want to give us. And hey, If you enjoyed the show, would you please take a moment next time you download your podcast to go ahead and give us a star rating, and honest feedback is what we're looking for. And if you have some suggestions or material that you would like us to talk about on our podcast, please email us at the Financial Abundance website, or Paul N. That's Paul Nichols at Financial Abundance Inc. That's INC.com. Hope this finds you guys well. Have a super duper day, and thanks for listening. Talk to you later.